It's not exactly still New Year's, but the year is still young. And as we think about the course that our lives take this year, I want us to think about growing in love with God this year. Now, I hope that all of us have a good relationship with God. The thing about it is it's sometimes difficult for one person to know what another person's relationship with God is really like. It's easy for us to guess and surmise and assume and think we know things about other people, but deep down, your relationship with God is really quite individual to you and God. But I want to encourage us this morning to examine that relationship and to hopefully do everything that we can to grow closer to Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, the Bible tells us that He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now Paul tells the Ephesians he wants them to grow up in all things. And one of those things that we need to grow up in is in our love for God. When we think about Peter and God having chosen him, Jesus picked him to be one of the apostles, and God chose him to deliver the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. But as we think about Peter, after Christ's resurrection and Christ was talking with him, after he had denied Christ, obviously he didn't love God enough. He didn't love Christ enough at that point in his life. He denied that he even knew Jesus. And Jesus asked him then, "Do you love me?" And he asked him that question three times, but there's a variety in the Greek that we often miss in the English. In the English, it's just, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" But in the Greek, he asked him the first time and the second time with the word agape, which is the kind of love that God has toward us. It's a deep and abiding love that is difficult for human beings to reach. Each time Peter answered that question with the word phileo, which is a brotherly love, which is one that's common to us as human beings. It's a friendship kind of love, the love that two brothers would share for one another. And so, Jesus in essence asked Peter, "Do you love me like God loves you?" And Peter said, "You know I love you like I love Andrew. Love you like I love my brother." And so, Jesus asked him again, "Peter, do you love me the way God loves you?" And Peter again says, "I love you like I love my brother Andrew." Now he didn't say Andrew, but he used the word phileo, which is brotherly loving, and that's the kind of love he would have had for his brother. Now the third time, Jesus came down to his level and said, "Peter, do you love me like your brother?" And Peter said, "You know everything, Lord. You know I love you like a brother." Later on, when Peter was to write 1st and 2nd Peter, in those letters he talked about a lot our relationship with God and growing and having faith and charity and all of these things. And he talked about having a sincere love. And he talked about having that agape love. And I believe by that point in his life, Peter had reached that. And if Jesus could have asked him again, toward the close of his life, "Peter, do you love me like God loves you?" He could have said, "Yes, Lord, I do now." But he had to grow to that. He didn't have that at the beginning. And I know some of us say, "Well, yeah, I love God." Well, I'm glad. I certainly hope that that's true for each and every one of us here, that we love God. But I'll tell you, we can never love Him enough. And no matter what level our love for God is, we need to grow in love with God more this year. We need to grow in that area of our lives. We need to copy the original. You see, 1 John 4, verses 10 through 11 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. But certainly also we ought to love Him, shouldn't we?" But notice, He loved us first. We didn't love Him first. Jesus came while we were still His enemies. While we were still in rebellion against Him, Jesus came to die for us. God showed a love for us that I dare say none of us have probably reached. And we still need to strive for that. We still need to grow in that area. Let's notice a few things this morning. First of all, let's notice some things necessary to grow in our love to God. How are we going to grow in our love? What do we need to have? Well, of course, we need the milk of the Word, and perhaps the meat of the Word as well. But 1 Peter 2 and verses 1 through 3, Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So he tells us the Word is necessary for us to grow. Now, of course, first the milk, but hopefully, by a matter of time, as we feast on the milk of that Word, hopefully we've grown to the point that we can handle some of the meat of the Word as well. But we need to always feast on His Word. And that will help us to grow in our love for Him. The more we read in the Scriptures about His love for us and about all that He has done for us, the more it should make us want to love Him more. Then we need to keep God's commandments. 1 John 5, 2 and 3, he says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God." How do we show God we love Him? What do we need to do to love God? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. You know, sometimes we may get the attitude, and some people do, that, "Well, it's too hard. I can't do all those things God wants me to do." John says His commandments aren't that hard. It's not grievous for us. It should be a blessing to us when we keep His commandments. And that's the love of God. That's showing God our love for Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if we're going to grow in our love to God, then we're going to do a better job this year of keeping His commandments than we have in the past. Now sometimes we kind of get into a satisfied, complacent type that, "Well, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian for a while, and I'm just floating along." But that should never be the case. We should continually be growing, striving to learn more about God, to know Him better, to examine His commands more thoroughly, to see if there are some we've missed, to see if there's some other way that we could please Him that we've failed in the past to do. We need to always be looking for ways to better our relationship with Him instead of just being satisfied. Many relationships we have, if we're just satisfied with the status quo, if we're just satisfied, "Well, it's good enough," those relationships will deteriorate. They won't grow. It takes work to grow a relationship. That's one of the problems many have in marriage. They started out dating or courting or whatever. They met and they wanted to get to know each other better, and they asked questions about everything. And they talked about everything, and they spent time together. And then they got married and said, "All right, now I'm done with all that." And then they just sat and grew apart instead of growing closer together. Unfortunately for some, the time as they're approaching the wedding day is as close as they'll ever get. For others, however, that's just the beginning, and they continue to grow closer and closer as the years go by. And that certainly is the case as well with our relationship for some with God. For some, the closest they've ever been to God was the day they were baptized. And that was as close to God as they ever got. They studied and learned everything they could about God to know how to please Him, to know how to become a Christian. But then once they became a Christian, they said, "Oh well, all right, got that done now. I can mark it off the list." Instead of continuing to grow in that relationship with God further. And so they began to lose out on the benefits. Another thing that's necessary to grow in our love to God is to allow love for God in every aspect of our lives. Matthew 22:35-38, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." We need to love God with everything, every part of our being. The heart, the soul, and the mind, everything. In another place where he's asked about that, he mentions it and includes the strength in there. All our strength as well. But Jesus tells us that our love for God should encompass every area of our lives. There shouldn't be an area where we say, "You know, God, you're not allowed in here. You know, I've got to have my secrets. I've got to have my privacy." Sometimes in relationships that's the case as well. You know, I let them come this close, but no closer to me. I keep my secrets. I don't share everything. That's also a danger. We talked about marriage relationships earlier, but it can be a danger in family relationships as well, or within the church even. When we keep an arm's distance and we don't allow each other to get close, we don't allow our love to spread to our heart, soul, and mind. Well, now let's notice some ways we show our love for Him. By our love for others. It's necessary to grow in our love to God by showing our love for Him by our love for others. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds." You see, we get to practice our love for God by loving each other. 1 John 4:19-21, John explains it a little better. He says, "We love Him," that's God, "because He first loved us." See, we didn't love Him first. "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And the commandment have we from Him, that he who loves God love his brother also." God says, you want to love me? Show me you're capable of it by loving your brother first. John says, if we can't love each other, then we can't love God. And if we say we love God while we're not loving each other, we're liars. We've got to show our love for each other first, in order to show God that we're capable of loving Him. Sometimes we fail at that. Often we fail at that. God is forgiving. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be forgiving of each other as well. But first, He says, you can't say I love God and then hate your brother. You've got to love your brother. If you say you love God, then you love your brother also. They go hand in hand. Well, let's notice some benefits from loving God more. I mean, why do I want to grow closer to God? I'm happy where I am. Everything's okay. Why should I want to get closer to God? Why should I want to grow in my love for Him anymore? Well, the Bible teaches us that things will work for good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to His purpose. The more we love God, the more things will work out for good for us. That's a benefit from loving God more. And then there's the fact that we can receive unimaginable things that have been prepared. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. God has prepared some amazing things for those that love Him. And we need to be sure that we get to enjoy those amazing things. Unimaginable. Things that have never entered into the heart of man. And yet He's prepared them for those that love Him. We want to receive that, then we need to grow in our love for Him. And then, of course, one of the benefits of loving God more is being known by God. In 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. You see, we often have it confused. People many times will say, well, I know the Lord. I know God. On judgment day, I'll know God. I know the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, there were a lot of people, according to Jesus, who on judgment day were going to claim a knowledge of Him. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, they knew Him. But He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. They knew Him, but He didn't know them. See, on the day of judgment, it's not going to matter whether we know Him. Everybody's going to know Him on the day of judgment. Everybody's going to recognize the Lord. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Everyone's going to see Him and know who He is. It won't matter if we know Him. It'll matter if He knows us. And Paul tells the Corinthians, if any man loves God, the same is known by him. You want to be known by God on the day of judgment? Then you better love God now. And then also, the last benefit that we want to look at, now certainly none of these things are exhaustive lists. We wouldn't have time for an exhaustive list of these things, certainly. But the last we want to look at is, we'll be an heir of the kingdom. James 2 and verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to them that love Him? You see, He promised His kingdom, but He only promised it to a select group. Those that love Him. We want to be heirs to the kingdom, don't we? Then we've got to love Him. And we need to grow in that love. We need to continue to get closer and closer to Him and love Him more and more. So as we head deeper into this year, the third thing that we want to notice are some questions to ask yourself about your relationship with God. These are questions that no one else on earth can answer for you. You have to answer them for yourself. I struggled with how to word this first one. Because I'm going to have to explain it a little bit. Because the way it's worded kind of makes it sound selfish. First question is, what do I hope to get out of my relationship with God this year? We say, well, I want to get something out of it. It makes it sound like I'm trying to take advantage of God. And that's not the idea. The idea is, what do I want my relationship with God to become this year? What hope do I have for my relationship to be better? What area of that relationship do I want to improve? Maybe a better way even of saying that. What do I hope to improve in my relationship with God this year? Perhaps that is a better way of wording it. And that may be different for each one of us. Some, maybe I want to improve my attendance at the worship. Maybe I want to improve my Bible study time. Maybe I want to improve my prayer life. Maybe I want to improve some particular aspect of living the Christian life, of being a righteous person. Maybe I want to be more honest. Maybe I want to be more forgiving. You know, that's why I said it. Nobody can answer that question for you because nobody else knows what's in your heart and soul. Nobody else knows what's in your mind. But is there one area where you just say, you know, I really hope I do better this year in this area of my relationship with God. I really hope I can grow to love Him more in this way, this specific thing. Because obviously to just say, well, I want to get a better relationship with God this year, that's good, but that's not specific enough to accomplish anything. So what do I hope for in my relationship with God? What is my one greatest hope? Now, there may be several things I hope for, but what is number one on the list? What is the one area that I most want to grow? And see, then we need to ask that second question. What am I willing to do to reach that hope? I used to hear quite often the saying, you can wish in one hand and spit in the other, and you can guess which one would get full first. I can hope for things. I can wish for things all the time. But what am I willing to do to make it happen? What will I do about it? Well, I wish I was closer to God. Okay, good. Now do something to make it happen. God is not keeping His distance from you. If there's a distance between you and God, it's because you're keeping your distance. It's not Him. And in fact, James tells us, if we will draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. He'll meet us halfway. Every step we take toward Him, He'll take another step toward us. As it is, sometimes we're keeping our arms distance, and every time He tries to step closer to us, we just step away further. And so we keep keeping our distance. But if we'll stop fighting Him and stop trying to keep our distance, and we'll move toward Him, He'll get even closer to us. He wants to be so close to us. And if we're willing, if we will take the steps necessary to reach that hope, He'll be glad to have that happen. Now then, on the other side of things, we want to ask another question. What is the biggest fear I have about my relationship with God this year? And now, you know, see, it's an interesting, these things work with any relationship. It could be a relationship with a family member, a child, a parent, a co-worker, a relationship between spouses. I mean, this works with any relationship we have in our lives. What is my biggest hope? What is my biggest fear? But what is my greatest fear that I have about my relationship with God this year? And then we ask the question then, what am I willing to do to avoid that fear? What can I do to make sure that that fear doesn't become a reality? See, the word fear, some people have said, would be a good acronym for false evidence appearing real. Now, sometimes fears are very real. You know, I mean, if somebody's pointing a gun at you and you're afraid of being shot, that's a very real fear. But sometimes our fears are irrational, and sometimes they're rational. But we need to think, if I'm afraid of something in my relationship with God, I need to examine that fear. Is it a real fear? Is it something that's actually in danger of happening? If I'm afraid of falling away, then is that because I'm feeling myself slipping away? Is it because I'm falling away? Is that why I feel that way? Then I need to do something to be sure that I don't slip any further away, that I instead get closer to Him. What am I willing to do to make sure that fear doesn't happen, to avoid that fear? Because sitting around just being afraid of something is no better than sitting around hoping for something. Hopes and fears drive our lives an awful lot. But instead of allowing them to immobilize us, we need to have those hopes and fears cause us to act in the best possible way to ensure that we gain the hopes and overcome the fears. As we look at these things, there are four areas in our lives that we could set some specific goals for hopes and fears, to overcome fears and to meet our hopes. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 describes Jesus' growth. This one verse covers about 18 years of His life. But for 18 years, this is what Jesus did. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. For 18 years, from the time He was 12 years old until He was about 30, that's all He did. Now, He said, that's all He did. That was one thing. Yeah. That's a pretty big thing, though, isn't it? He grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually. He learned a lot. He matured intellectually, mentally. He gained not only knowledge, but the ability to use that knowledge. He gained wisdom. That's all part of the intellect and the mental ability. But then He also grew in stature. Now imagine He completed that before He was the age of 30, but He continued to do it up till adulthood anyway. That's the physical aspect. From the time He was 12 on, He grew physically. He grew spiritually. He increased in His favor with God. That's His spiritual relationship with God. He grew in His love for His Father, His Heavenly Father. And it says He increased in favor with man. He grew socially. These are the four aspects that encompass our entire lives. The intellectual or mental, the physical, the fleshly body, the spiritual, our soul, and the social, our emotional interaction with other people. Jesus increased in every area of His life. And we need to do the same. Now, obviously physically, we're most of us adults, we're not going to grow anymore, but that doesn't mean that we don't still need to work on it. It doesn't mean we don't still need to consider our physical health and do things that will be beneficial to our bodies. Obviously, the more healthy we are, the longer we have to live and serve God on this earth. Now, there's limits, obviously, to that, and none of us have any guarantees. And we certainly don't want to suggest that we become exercise fanatics or something, but we do need to consider our health. We don't need to just go out of our way to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit that we are, that God tells us we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to destroy His temple intentionally. But intellect, physical, spiritual, and social areas of our lives, these are all areas where we may have hopes or fears regarding our relationship with God as well. Some of us may feel, I don't know enough. Some may feel, you know, I'm just not physically able to do what I need to in my relationship with God. Some may feel like, you know, I just spiritually, my soul's weak, and I need to work on that. Socially, maybe I need other Christians to help support me and encourage me. Whatever it may be, these are the areas where we need to work on growing in our love with God and growing our relationship with Him this year. What's your hope? What's your fear? What are you willing to do to reach the hope and avoid that fear? And then make it a reality and see if your relationship with God isn't better by the end of this year. Chances are you'll find it'll start to improve immediately when you put into action these things that we've discussed this morning. If you're not a Christian, you have a lot of room to grow in your relationship with God, because you don't really have much of a relationship with God. Oh, you may know Him, you may know Jesus, you may know some of the Bible, but He doesn't know you if you're not His child. I mean, obviously God knows everyone, but He doesn't have a relationship with you as His child if you've never obeyed the gospel. If you haven't done that, what better way is there to head into this year than to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and based on that belief, be willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Son of God and be buried in baptism to wash your sins away? What better way could there be to move forward in this new year and to help your relationship with God? There is no better way if you're not a member of His body, His family, His church. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you have found your relationship with God, you've been struggling with it, perhaps you feel like you're not as close as you used to be, you need to get that spark back before you lose it. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for whatever reason, please come as we stand and as we sing.